That's why we had a little bit of an introduction of some trailers and some things like that. So I got a surprise for you, and it's not that we're going to start a children's home. We probably could, but we're going to talk about Jesus, all right? Yeah, whoa, no way, not Jesus. Yeah, we're going to talk about him, and today we're going to find ourselves again in Luke chapter 10. We've been walking through in three series, really talking about how we better find somebody to love, an old Jefferson Airplane song. Didn't inspire me. The word inspired me. I feel like we needed a series around the Valentine's event to just remind us that we were created to love God and love our neighbor. So we see Jesus and John in Luke chapter 10 do a really incredible thing. He sends out 72 kind of missionary disciples to go toward Jerusalem and to kind of the suburban area around Jerusalem and begin to go door to door eating and talking about Jesus. And then Jesus came in after they had did several days of ministry, I assume. Jesus comes in, he starts doing miracles, and then he gets confronted by a lawyer. Not necessarily someone in the courtroom, but actually a scholar in Old Testament Torah, the theological law of the Jews. So he comes and he's trying to trip Jesus up. The text tells us, put him to the test. And so his question to Jesus is a great question: what do I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says, "You tell me." And the lawyer, he gives his best summary of the Old Testament law. He says, well, you got to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you got to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that sounds good. Go do it. And I really think we've talked about the point. We're certainly created to love people, and we got to find that person to love, not just like a significant other, but we've got to love our neighbor legitimately, lavishly, according to Jesus, because Jesus goes on and in this conversation with the lawyer says, well, let me ask you this, Jesus, who is my neighbor? If I have to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? Because honestly, this lawyer wanted to be selective. He didn't want to love a particular race or ethnic group of people. And Jesus tells a story that goes right to this man's heart, and that story is called the Good Samaritan. We talked about that last week. Where Jesus tells a story of a Jewish man who is beat up and his stuff is stolen from robbers. He's left half dead in the street. And then a Jewish hero comes by, the priest. But the priest, what? Passes him by. And then a Levite, another kind of religious leader, comes by and passes this man by. But then his sworn enemy, a Samaritan person, we don't know his name, it's just a story that Jesus made up. He comes by and he lavishly loves this man beat up in the ditch. He spends equivalent of hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars to put him up in a hotel for weeks. He puts him on his donkey, he spends the night with him, he does first aid, he helps the guy legitimately. And Jesus says that we cannot choose who we love. We're supposed to love all of our neighbors. And so Jesus asks the man after he tells his story, he's like, which one is a good neighbor? And the man says, well, the one that showed mercy. And then Jesus again says, well, you need to go and do it. And the thing is, Jesus has asked this two other times. How do I inherit eternal life? In John chapter 3, he says, you have to be born again. You have to have a new life generated in you by the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Jesus says in John 3:16, right? You have to believe that God sent his son into the world, that whoever would believe would have everlasting life and would not perish. So, and then he's also asked to this, the rich young ruler, a rich person comes to Jesus and says, how can I inherit eternal life? It's a great question. And Jesus says, you know, you've done all the commandments, but one thing you haven't done, you haven't sold everything you have and given it to the poor. So one thing we've been talking about is it is good to love. We were created to love. We were created to love God. We were created to love others. But here's the reality. We've failed. We don't love like God's called us to love. We don't love like the law requires us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. And we don't love our neighbor as ourself. You say, well, Austin, I thought good people go to heaven. Good people who do good things, I thought they go to heaven. And I would say absolutely true, but there's been only one good man. It was Jesus. He did everything good and perfect. And guess what? He did die and he rose again. And guess what? He did go to heaven. And so what we're talking about as the Gates Church is we need to get in touch with that man, and we need his help to get us to heaven. So one thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to see this next story. I love it. Jesus goes and visits friends. Aren't you glad Jesus has friends? Aren't you glad that you are Jesus' friend if you are today? Well, he goes and he visits his friends, two ladies, Mary and Martha. And I want to go ahead and read this text. It's in Luke chapter 10. If you're already there, great. If not, it's on your sheet. Everyone should maybe have a sheet. There's a little perforated thing you can tear out and give me your information if you'd like for me to call you or us to call you sometime. So let's read. This is the word of the Lord starting in verse 38. It says, now they went on their way. So who is they? That's Jesus and at least 72 kind of missionary disciples. So there's a big posse kind of following Jesus around. He's got a lot of followers, disciple making, missionary, like really cool stuff. So they are on their way. He's got a crowd of people. They're about to go into Jerusalem and do some more ministry around the surrounding area. This is cool. Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. That's the big thing we want to talk about today. We're going to call this sermon today, At the Feet of Jesus. But Martha was distracted. Anybody ever been distracted? With much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Lord, we come to you. We pray that we would understand what you mean here when we talk about sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to your word. God, I pray that even in this moment, and I pray every other time we gather and publicly worship, that it would be times where we sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to your word. So help us to do that. Help us to do that every day. Help us to live lives like Martha. Live lives more like Mary. We don't want to be too busy to miss you. We want to sit at your feet and listen to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So the book of Luke is different in some ways than Matthew and Mark and John. Luke gives us these stories. He gives us the story of the lawyer hanging out with Jesus, kind of trying to trip Jesus up. And he gives us the story of the Good Samaritan. Those aren't in the other Gospels. And he gives us this story of Jesus visiting his two friends. They're not really in the other Gospels. So I think Luke's really making a point to us in the sequence of these things. We've heard this discussion with Jesus and the lawyer. How do you inherit eternal life? Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? You love your neighbor as yourself. And we're left with kind of this just as we've thought this through. We don't do that all the time like God requires. And we need Jesus' help. And so this next story is, I think, really brilliant. It's really important as Luke tells this in a sequence. He tells us really that what we have to do to get to a place where we can love God in a full way, we can love our neighbor as ourself. Well, I think that what we want to say today is that we have to first be at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. We have to be at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. In fact, I think the birthplace of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself is at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of Jesus. So we want to talk about, this is a great story, an incredible thing. And I've got a few points we're going to pull out here. And so first of all is that we really should welcome the Lord Jesus into our life. We really should welcome the Lord Jesus in. So it's really incredible in verse 38. It says that when they were on their way, Jesus entered a village. Jesus entered a village. One of the greatest things that's ever happened to me while I've been in Baltimore, I was in Canton. Is it Canton Crossings? Is that where it is? I was probably after some barbecue or something at a Target or some of those stores. And I saw through a window one of my favorite football players of all time, Mr. Steve Smith Sr. All right, he was a Raven, and a few years, I think he retired, he didn't play this year, right, but a few years back. And I like Steve Smith a lot because I'm from South Carolina, and he was like the greatest Carolina Panther that ever lived. And I actually chose to move up here when me and Steve Smith moved up here together because he had this football thing, and I thought, I'll come up here and plant a church, you know, why not? So we had it worked out. I moved up here, but I saw Steve Smith at a restaurant, and he was talking. He does a TV show, and people get there and they listen to him. And I am from a small town in South Carolina, and one thing I love about being here in Baltimore, I love going to restaurants or maybe historical places, and there's all these pictures on the wall of all the famous people that have been there and ate there. And, you know, you see, like, who's our swimmer? David Phelps, you know, he's always going to all the places, and his pictures everywhere on the wall. Like, there's all these, Michael Phelps, sorry, David Phelps is somebody else. Somebody else I know. Michael Phelps is a swimmer, right? An incredible swimmer. But I'm sure some of us have seen famous people. But I'm from a small town in South Carolina. The name of that town is Easley. And I thought long and hard to try to get an illustration. No one famous ever came to my town. I can't remember anyone ever remotely rememberable or famous ever coming to my town. So it's exciting to be in Baltimore and to see where famous people come from and they come and visit. But I want you to know, even though the most famous people have never came to my small town, the most incredible, most famous, most influential man of all of history did come to my town. His name is Jesus. And he came to this small village, just a remote village outside of Jerusalem. We'll find out later in study of the Bible that this is probably a town called Bethany, just a small town, and Jesus came. I want you to know that John does a really great intro to his book, John chapter 1. He talks about the fact that Jesus didn't just come from Bethlehem and start visiting other places or Nazareth, but Jesus came from the very doors of heaven and stepped into a body as the divine Son of God. And he came and the Bible says that he tented with us. He tabernacled with us. He incarnated himself. He became man so that he could be with us, so that he could visit us. He visited my town, and I met him as a young boy, probably in a church services, going through some activities like this, worshiping the Lord. I met the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, because he visited my town. And what we're doing, family, here in the midst of picking up and wrestling through Black Panther and trying to figure out all these things here in the movie theater, we are the effort of Jesus visiting this small village, right? We want to see him come in and make himself available. There's an important thing that Martha does. She welcomed Jesus in, right? She saw the creator of the universe and flesh in her village, and she welcomed her into her home, right? And I have some verses on your paper about the fact that Jesus was God in flesh and that he has visited us. And so she allows him to come into her home, and we need to allow the Lord to come into our life, into our spiritual home. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a visitor to your home? I know growing up, my mom, we had one room people could come into. If they had to go to the bathroom, they had to leave, all right? Because no other rooms were allowed. We had a front room, and half the time we kept that thing pretty nice. Not always, but people could come over and stay in our front room. It was nice. It had, like, you know, painted walls and everything. It was clean. Every other room, off limits. You know, like O'Donnell's could go in there. But there were some rooms that kids weren't even allowed to go into. You might have that at your house. But what about when the Lord comes into our life and into our spiritual house? Are there some rooms we don't let him into? Well, family, I think we need to be like Martha. We need to welcome Jesus into our house. By the way, Martha was probably wealthy. She had a pretty large house. So she actually maybe even has like up to 100 people in her house here when Jesus comes to visit. So let's keep going. We need to welcome the Lord into our life. And then next, we need to sit at his feet and listen to his word. This is kind of namesake of what we're talking about today, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I think I have a picture of some feet. Hopefully they're Jesus' feet. I think it's a statue. But we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that means quite a lot. It means a lot. I want you to imagine if the Steve Smiths and the Chris Davises, the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Ravens, let's say they left wherever they are right now and they started traveling all around to the Baltimore area. Let's say they came to a neighborhood like Colgate, went door to door and started just talking about baseball, talking about their life, talking about their experiences, words of wisdom. They showed up at different doors at Colgate. How would people respond? I think they would just, they would full of joy, they would sit at these superstar athletes' feet and just sit at their feet and listen to their every word, hang on every single word. And what if people, what if even just a few people in the Baltimore area started doing that for Jesus? What if we just started listening to Jesus, sit at his feet, began to be discipled? What does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? When I think about it, what I see is there's an act of submission, and there's an act of, hey, I'm ready to hear and receive whatever you're teaching me, teacher Jesus. There's really almost a picture of a king. The king would often, kings in those days and all days, kings try to get up high, right? You know, no king's ever like, hey, could you dig me a hole and put me a stool in there where I could sit? No. They're like, hey, I want you to build this huge thing with steps, and then I'm going to be a throne. And why? Because they need everybody under their authority. They need everybody under their feet. Now, our King Jesus, he comes to small villages. He hangs out in people's homes. He has friends, and he talks about his kingdom, but he still has people that are at his feet, learning submissively. It's not my ideas, Jesus. It's your ideas. What are you here to teach me? How can I grow? How can I submit? We think about the feet of Jesus. I think about the one time Jesus said, I do want you to lift me up high so that everybody will be under my feet. When was that? It was when he took the cross. His hands, probably his feet, were nailed into this splintery wood. And the whole process of crucifixion was Jesus suffocating to death. And that's how Jesus rules and reigns. The Bible says if he be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto him. That's what he did. He was lifted up on the cross. He died for our sins. He died the death that we should have died, so that he could give us his life as a ransom for our sins, so that we would be forgiven. And Jesus was lifted up. And people, probably even like Mary and Martha, were there on the ground, and they saw the feet of Jesus. They were under the feet of Jesus. Jesus' blood is coming out of his body. It's dripping down to his feet. His feet is dripping with the blood that saves us from our sin. He was the sacrifice. And that's how he rules and reigns. He died for us. And so we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We see Jesus as a king that comes and visits us in our village, a king that visits us in our home and teaches us how to live. We listen to his word. I think about, you got this neat little thing. How many of you would say, you know, like, I'm going to ask you if you're a Martha or a Mary. I want you to show me your hands. You know, if you just think, like, I would, so a Martha is busy, serving, want to do stuff, want to get it all done, want to take care of my checklist, get everything taken care of. I'm going to work, work, work. And who is like, I want to hang out with somebody, you know, like I just want to sit down, relax, chill out, talk to people. How many of you say you're like Mary? You want to relax and sit down, chill out. How many of you are that Martha, like super organized, like I want to take care of stuff, I got a checklist, I'm halfway through it, I'm going to get it done. All right. So yeah, this is a personality thing, but there's an incredible thing that Mary really gets here, where Jesus walks in and he's bringing value to her home. He's bringing value to her life. So I have these things written on your paper. First of all, there's communion. And by the way, we're going to do something at the end of the service we call communion. We hope that the movie theater doesn't turn on. But we're going to do communion, and if you feel comfortable taking communion, you feel like you are someone that believes in the cross of Jesus, you believe in Christ, we want you to come down and take the elements, and we're going to walk through the Lord's Supper. But we call it communion because it's the act of taking an element, be it juice or bread, and putting it to our body and remembering that we have a common union with Christ. It reminds us that we are one with Jesus. Jesus says crazy things like that he invites us into his person, that we become one with Jesus. We call it union with Christ. We're united with Jesus. And so Jesus visits here with Mary so that she can become united with Jesus, so she can experience communion with Jesus, common union with Jesus. That's incredible, isn't it? That God of the universe stepped into a body. We call it God in a bod, right? And then he went to villages and he wanted communion. He wanted relationship. He wanted togetherness with people that really doesn't really want him in their life. Well, he comes and makes himself available. Maybe the Martha here is like, he doesn't want me. you know? He doesn't want me. I got to get busy. But Jesus does want her. Jesus does want me. Jesus does want you. He wants to have union with you. He wants to have communion with you. Jesus brings communication. Jesus has a message to give these ladies. And the people that sometimes get busy, they say, "Oh, I'm too busy. That message isn't for me. That message isn't something I can understand." And Jesus comes and he makes himself available. You can understand the message of Jesus. He has a communication for you. He has a word for you. He has counsel for you. Now, this is taking communication and making it very, very personal. Jesus has a personal message for you in this life. And if you get into his word, if you get at his feet, if you submit to his kingship, he will begin to show you personal stuff about your life. Personal places that you should grow, places that you should change. He has counsel for you, and he helps you move forward with his words of wisdom, his personal life messages for you. And then finally, comfort. Right? So the busy person maybe says, "I'm too busy. I can do without the blessing of Jesus right now. I can do without the comfort of Jesus right now." And here's the reality, family. You cannot. You cannot do without the blessing of the Lord Jesus. We have a deep hole in our soul. We fill it with alcohol, depression. We fill it with all types of things. And I want to tell you, that hole in your soul is Jesus-shaped. It's right where Jesus belongs. And you need to allow him to come in and comfort your soul. In the midst of all the anxiety, in the midst of all the fear, in the midst of all of the darkness and the mess that we find ourselves consistently wading through, I want you to know that the comfort to all of that stuff, it doesn't happen overnight if you become a Christian today, but it will happen. Jesus will come in and bring comfort to your soul. He will bring peace and joy and hope that you do not know if you do not know Christ. So Jesus comes to the village. He comes into our homes. He comes into our life, and we need to sit at his feet and listen to his words. So let's just say this too. Don't be too busy for Jesus. Look at Martha. I love Martha. Let's just say here, Martha is the normal one. Amen? Right? Like, this is what we do. By the way, let's think about this. Martha doesn't have indoor plumbing. I have indoor. Most of us have indoor plumbing. It's great. Martha does not have. Martha has a high standard of hospitality. Like, if you come to my house, I may stick a hot pocket in the microwave for you and give you a Coke. Like, that's a good day. But this standard in these days, this was like, you get out, you go kill a calf when you got people coming over. You make an awesome party. Like, you do hospitality right, and if you don't, you look like a schlub, you know? So you gotta do hospitality right. So Martha is freaking out, you know? Because she's got all these people coming over. She's got the most important person in all of history. Jesus is coming to her house. She is freaking out, so she is distracted with much serving. She's running to the water well. She's not washing. I get the picture. She's washing dishes, but it's much more difficult than that. She's probably traveling to get water. She's got a lot she's got on her mind. She's doing a lot of things. And so she gets mad at Mary, and she gets mad at Jesus, which is always a bad idea, right? So she went up to him, and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Right? I think I've said those exact words to my mother about 50,000 times because I have a little sister. So Martha is the normal one, isn't she? She's distracted. She's got stuff going on. You would be too, right? She is the one that's normal. And Mary, though, something incredible has happened with Mary. I think she sees who Jesus fully is. She's starting to feel the comfort of Jesus. She's starting to hear the communication of Jesus. She's starting to see who Jesus is, and she embraces him more than just a human friend, but she's embracing him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How do we fit it in, family? How do we fit it in? I heard about this really cool thing. I want you to listen to this. This is good. If you're not a believer and you're here and you want kind of our practical help, this is it. I heard this story. This is so good. A guy, some famous executive CEO guy, he's talking to all of these business majors, you know, MBAs or something. He's doing this big speech about how to be an effective, productive leader. And so he brings a big glass jar and he sits it on a table, a huge glass jar. And then he takes these big rocks and he starts sticking them in the jar until the jar is full of these rocks. And he asks the crowd, he's like, "Hey, is this jar full?" And everybody's like, "Yeah, don't, you know, you're going to break that glass. Yeah, the jar is full." And he says, "No, it's not." And he gets down here and he gets a bag of like gravel. And so then he takes the gravel and he starts putting that in. You know, the little bitty gravel rocks start fitting their way in between the big rocks. And he dumps a whole bag of gravel into that jar. And then he looks at the crowd and he says, "Is this thing full?" And then they say, "No, no." You know, so then what does he do? He gets sand. He gets a bag of sand and he dumps that into his jar. Right, so the sand moves around. He says, "Is it full?" And he says, "It's not full." So he goes and he gets a bag of water, a bucket of water, and he pours all this water in there. And so then the thing becomes full. And he asked the crowd, he was like, "What's the point of this illustration?" And some kid stands up and says, "You can fit everything you need to into your schedule." And the man said, "That's good, but it's wrong." He said, "The point of this illustration is you've got to do the rocks first. You got to do the rocks first. Or the big rocks won't fit in if you fill it up with all that other stuff," right? And family, our big rocks, the things that we really need to get into our jar, the thing that we really need is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. That's the biggest thing that we need to do, because it'll change our life. It'll change everything about our life. So at our church here, we want to call busy the B word, all right? Because we want to be careful about getting busy, because busy is really kind of elevated, right? If I want to have someone stop talking to me, what do I say? "I'm busy," right? "I'm busy." But the thing is, like, we in our culture, we kind of value busy, don't we? But here's the reality. There's no verse in the Bible that really points to the fact that God loves your busyness. God's not incredibly excited about maybe even the idea of you getting busy serving. Because maybe if you get busy serving, you'll forget the main thing, which is sitting at his feet and listening to his word. I think busyness could really choke a ministry like ours, because we don't have a lot of people and we don't have we don't have infinite resources. So the things that we do have to be very specific and very powerful and very much given to us from God. But if we all begin to get busy, we might start missing each other, and even more importantly, we might start missing the Lord sitting at his feet. So this don't be busy brings us to this thing that it's a personal agenda that you have to lead yourself and lead yourself to Christ as often as you can. How do you get to the feet of Jesus? How do you hear the words of Jesus? So we see Jesus coming in here, and Luke gives us these stories. It says, "Love God, love your neighbor," and then we have this story. And this is a really incredible story, because this is the neighbor Jesus going to someone's house. This is the divine Son of God, the God Jesus going to someone's house and receiving love. And the way that Jesus wants to receive love isn't us necessarily giving all of our money to good causes. It's not serving constantly. But what if the way to love God is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word and discover from him how he wants us to love him? But if we're busy, we'll miss it. And I love this last point. I hope you take this home if nothing else. At the feet of Jesus, we lose our anxiety. At the feet of Jesus, we begin to lose the worry of our day, of our world. Nothing takes away worry like being at the feet of Jesus. So I don't know what you're anxious about today. I don't know what you're worried about today. You probably, I'm not at all saying, well, hey, don't, you know, well, don't go to work tomorrow. You probably should go to work, right? Don't go to the doctor. You probably should go to the doctor. But I want you to know, whatever you're dealing with, it becomes a lot easier when you experience the feet of Jesus and listen to his word and make a plan to do so. So look at what Jesus says. This is Jesus' response. Martha's mad at Jesus, right? Make her help me. This is what he says. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. By the way, I think true children of God, true Christians, we see trouble, but we are never really troubled. Amen? Like when we abide in Jesus, we sit at his feet, we hear his word, we'll encounter trouble. We encounter trouble this morning, right? We'll encounter trouble when we walk out this door today. But we are never troubled because we have a master who has visited us and we sit at his feet. So you're anxious and troubled in many things, but 42, but one thing is necessary. Jesus is pointing to the reality that he is the big rock that needs to get in her jar. He is the one necessary thing that she has to deal with that day. She needs to sit at his feet and hear his word. And he says this, Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. So again, family, I'll just say it again. We have a little Martha in our heart, right? That wants us up pacing, running, getting water, running everywhere, worrying about all the troubles in the world. But what we need to do is sit her down and try to raise up that Mary in our heart that says, the Lord is my good portion. Right, he takes away trouble, he takes away anxiety from me, and he cannot be stolen away. So of course, if I told you, hey, Jesus is coming to your house tomorrow and he's going to have like 100 people, would you be freaked out? Yes, right? Like we all would, right? We would be totally freaked out. That would stress me out. That would stress us out. But what's incredible here, even though Martha is kind of a blockhead in this story, God still kind of perfectly uses her. So some things that occur, and I'd encourage you to look them up there on your sheet. But in John chapter 11, Mary and Martha, this sister couple that we're talking about today, they have a brother named Lazarus. And by John chapter 11, Lazarus dies, and he's dead for days. And Jesus kind of slowly gets there when they're dead and they're having a funeral. And Jesus says, guess what? It's not my will for you to have a funeral today. I'm the resurrection, the truth, and the life. And he has this great conversation with Martha where she has this faith that says, Jesus, you can still save him even though he's dead 3 days. And Jesus says these two powerful words because he is the creator. He can recreate. He can get people from the dead. He just says, Lazarus, come forth. Heard a preacher say, if he hadn't said the man's name, everybody would have got out of their grave and came to Jesus. But Martha has this incredible faith. And then later, just before Jesus goes to the cross, they anoint him with this stuff called nard. That's like this really expensive ointment. They put it on, again, his feet. Because they sit at his feet and they anoint his feet to feel comfort before his feet are covered with blood, the blood of the cross. And it probably was like a year's worth salary. Like I said, these people are a bit wealthy, but they get this incredible blessing. And Jesus says in that text, in John 12, 1-8, he says to her, Mary, you will be remembered forever because you have this incredible love for me. And family, that's where we want to be. We want to take off anxiety and receive the love of Jesus and feel the fullness of knowing him in an incredible way. So I just want to come back as the band. Let's wait for the band. Sorry. I just want to come back to this statement. To love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That has to begin at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. That's our big rock. That's where we want to be. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and You're saying, man, I didn't know Jesus was so available. I didn't know he cared about me. I didn't know he died for me. I didn't know he had a way to bring me into his family, make me a child of God. And today I fully kind of hear this. I want to turn away from sin and shame and anxiety. And I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to become a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe if this is your prayer this morning, so let's just speak to you. You say today, you know what, today.
Thanks for listening to the Gates Church audio. We hope this encourages you in your spiritual walk. Check out our website to see how you can get involved at thegateschurch.com.